Our next presenter is Aaron Gardiner, and she's going to be presenting on an introduction to public health, improving health for all. Mr. Gardiner is a research specialist and, a research specialist and program evaluator for the country or Riverside Department of Public Health. He completed his MA in anthropology from the University of California, Riverside. Aaron's 15 years of research experience includes 9 years as a professional program evaluator. He's a founding member of his agency, Health Equity Committee, serves on its executive subcommittees, and chairs the work group responsible for training staff in health equity and social justice. And I hear that it's his third presentation already at this meeting.
Thank you. Actually, I answer to anything, so... Mr. Miss, doesn't matter. And it is my third, no. That introduction, I think I might have overwrote that a little bit. It sounded a little more impressive than I think I am. But I can say I'm really excited to be on this panel because already I'm like, okay, I need to talk to you guys afterwards. I have no disclosures to make. So... I'm from the Riverside County Department of Public Health here in California, in Southern California, and I'll show you where that is in a second. And we have instituted really a very major all-staff training. And really what I wanted to do is take a few minutes today and talk about the steps we took at adapting and developing this training series and talk a little bit about some of the challenges we've had and some of the ways that we're working to overcome those challenges, because I think that's where a lot of the useful information is just sort of being honest about where the bumps in the road are. So Riverside County, where the heck is that? We're about 450 miles away from here, from San Francisco, east of Los Angeles. We're actually the fourth most populous county in California and the 11th most populous in the U.S. with about 2.2 million residents. We're an extremely fast-growing county, and we expect to grow by another million residents over the next 10 years. We're a majority-minority population. 55% of residents identify as non-white. And and just one more locator. For those of you who've heard of Palm Springs, we're home to Palm Springs, California. Which also means that we have a great disparity in income and wealth in our county. So we have some of the poorer regions in the country in our county and some of the wealthiest regions in the country in our county living up side by side with each other. So here's an outline of the training series that we've instituted. First, let me just say, and I'll probably say it a few more times, it was Alameda County Department of Public Health and headquartered in Oakland, just across the bay. They're the ones who initially developed the series. And what we've done with their help is take this series and then reworked it for our own use. The demographics of Riverside County, both of the the populations and the politics and everything else, is very different than that of Alameda County. And so, we wanted to take it apart and make it as useful as possible for our own population, which also included adding a module, and I can talk a little bit about that. So I want to make sure I give full credit to them. But our series, which we call Public Health Improving Health for All Discussion Series, really starts off with a basic discussion of sort of public health 101. And that's understanding, 70-80% of public health employees, it's no different for our department, don't have formal training in public health. And so we wanted to set up something to get everyone on the same page and speaking the same language, both about some issues in public health, just basics like three core functions, 10 essential services, some of that sort of thing, and being able to identify, how their role, whether they're the director of public health, which my director of public health is here, or one of our office assistants, can all identify what their role is and how it fulfills the three core functions and 10 essential services of public health. And then once we have that basic knowledge. Then we go into a little bit of cultural competency and cultural acceptance, and we have focus groups at the end of these modules so that then we're asking them, you know, why don't you rate both yourself, they can keep that private, both yourself and where you think you are in cultural competency, and we have a continuum, and then where you would like to be. But then also the agency. Where do you think the agency is or your program is in cultural competency? Where would you like us to be? And then do you have any ideas about how to help move us forward? And then we take that, and this is a mandatory training for all of our staff. So we have, you know, 800 staff in our public health department. And so then we're getting all of these great ideas from all across the department. And then we take that information, do a little analysis, and then send it up to our administrators for use and our managers. That's cultural competency and acceptance. And then we've fully launched modules 1 and 2. In fact, we have about 90% of our staff who have gone through modules 1 and 2. Modules 3 and 4 are launching January and February of this next year. Module 3, Deconstructing Racism, surrounds primarily the video. For those of you who have heard Race, the Power of an Illusion, it's a fantastic three-part documentary on starting off, one, describing how race is a social construct, not a biological one, which, you know, in this day and age is still mind-blowing to way too many people, and so we have that discussion. Then it talks about the history of race in the United States and how it was invented, and then how that's been institutionalized in national policy and how that affects people to this day. And then opening up that discussion with our staff. Then for social determinants of health, we really look at a lot of the local data and see how a lot of what we discussed in module 1, 2, 3, how it plays out. So, and each of these build on each other. Let's see. And of course, I have half of my, or most of my co-authors are actually in the room, so if I miss something, you know they'll jump all over me. So, in the development, in 2008, thanks to actually one very motivated staff member that we had in our department who had, you know, who saw our EPI data, saw the disparities, and really wanted to do something about it. And she was actually a social worker and had come over from our social services department where they saw many of the same disparities, a lot of the same barriers. And so she opened up discussions with our director and said, you know, I really would like to form a work group. And of course, at the time, we didn't really have the social determinants language or the health equity language, but she wanted to form a work group to kind of, to really start addressing health, you know, the health disparities. And our director said, yes, go for it. You know, form a work group, start discussing these issues, see what we can come up with. And so in 2008, we did. And we pretty quickly, and I was in that initial group, and we pretty quickly realized one of the first things we needed to do was educate ourselves, that there was actually a lot there that we weren't fully grasping. I mean, I think like most public health departments, we had a good grasp of health disparities, and we certainly had a grasp of trying to attack the symptoms, but we really needed to start looking at ways that we can attack the underlying issues, you know, see what our role could be in addressing the underlying social determinants of health. And we thought, well, the very first thing we need to do is get our own house in order, get our own staff on the same page, so we're all speaking the same language. And since no one has any final answers on this, we as an entire health department could then start to work on solutions to move forward if we were all on the same page. And that was our vision for this training series. And we were fortunate enough to find the Alameda County Public Health Department's Public Health 101 series, and they're very helpful. In fact, on Saturday, we conducted a learning institute with them on developing and implementing these kinds of series. And in fact, in the back, I don't know if there's still any more copies, but we had some leftover materials from the learning institute, and so we sat them back there. So if they're still there, you can grab those as well. And so then we started adapting the Public Health 101 series. That sounds easy, And certainly it's easier than developing one from scratch. Alameda County's been doing this since 2004. We've been doing it since 2008. But taking their series, looking through it, and developing that very first module took us a year. And then it's taken us about 6 to 8 months per module since then to form work groups and, you know, adjust them for our own purposes and then launch them. So it's and like I said, 800 employees, mandatory trainings, 4 hours each for each module. It's a major, as I've said in other presentations, it's not for the faint of heart. It has proven to be valuable, though. We've had, overwhelming positive response from the staff. We were prepared for a lot of pushback from the staff, and instead what we get is a lot of really positive feedback and a lot of people who are very happy that we're opening up these very difficult conversations. And for us, that was a very nice surprise to have. The some recommendations, and again, we make all of our materials available to you, so if you just contact me or hit me up right after this session, I can make sure that, you know, you get my contact information and I can give you all of our materials and talk to you about it in detail. You know, I'm trying to cover a 3.5-hour learning institute, which we had trouble even getting in the time in a 10-15-minute presentation. So, but the logistics is one of the biggest things in something of this undertaking. So that's something to really highlight. And then facilitators. All of our facilitators are all they're not volunteers because they're paid, but they're all from across our own department with their own job duties, and then they take on facilitating these modules as sort of a labor of love on top of all their other job duties. And so obviously finding training and then maintaining a large enough facilitator pool has been one of our largest challenges, but thankfully it's been one of the things that we've also been successful at being able to maintain. And like I've said before, our trainings are mandatory for all of our staff. Like I said, from our director to all of our office assistants and everyone else. So some of our biggest challenges and successes. Over the last couple years, our agency has undergone massive administrative reorganization, and which has put a lot of pressure on those of us who develop and implement and facilitate this training series. What I can say is the reason why we've been able to maintain success is because our administration, despite having all of these massive changes, has been able to stay the course and say that this is still a priority, keep going, keep moving forward, and then that helps, keeps our back stiff and keeps us marching forward. One of the biggest challenges is perceived barriers, and it's really fear of the unknown. We're talking about homophobia, racism, differentials in wealth and power in a public health department, and Riverside County is, it's not Alameda County. We're a little more conservative, and so it's really couching a lot of the language in terms of healthy communities, healthy neighborhoods, and this doesn't have an agenda, a political agenda behind it of conservative or liberal or anything like that. What we're talking about are building a county that we all want to live in, then we sail through and we do okay. Fear of the unknown, it's perceived barriers, and we have a lot of people who get worried about it, but then when we push forward, they don't turn out to be much of anything. Logistics is a huge undertaking, and I'm happy to not only talk to anyone about the logistic challenges, but also get you in touch with our staff development office, and our staff development officer would be more than happy to help people through the headaches and heartaches that she's had to go through to institute something like this. We couldn't do it without having people dedicated to tracking the facilitators and all the students and the rooms and the on and on and on. The and then communication. Our our department, and I suspect like many, is always, communication throughout the entire department and getting things from the top to the line staff, things like that, it's always a challenge. You know, people get distracted by a lot of other competing duties, and it is a challenge for us as well. Challenge to get communication out to the staff, challenges for our health equity committee and the group working on this, making sure that they're communicating with our administrators so that there aren't surprises, and then the communication back again. But that's just one of those things that we're always working on, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of, but it's, just to be honest, it's always a challenge. And I think it's probably a challenge for a lot of organizations. I'm seeing a lot of heads going, yeah, it's a challenge for us, yeah. And then, of course, we've been very pleasantly surprised by the incredible high level of interest that our staff has shown in this. We were prepared for a lot of pushback, a lot of people going, oh, a mandatory training, we don't want to do this, what is it? What is this, cultural competency thing, right? And, and what we've actually encountered are people who just, they immediately sign up. I think we all know just because you make something mandatory doesn't mean that they actually go. And like I said, we have high level of coverage. People sign up. They're interested. They're asking about when the next module is going to be released. What I have here is a little picture. At each module, we have buttons that we give out to people who complete. It's their sort of sign that they completed one of the modules. And I'm wearing mine from our very first, our module one. And so we have I Am Public Health is our first one. And then and then our facilitators have just been really a dedicated group of people. Again, please, I'm trying to, cram 4 hours into 15 minutes. And so please give us a call. We're happy to share all of our information. We're happy to share if you're interested in things like the theories that were basing this off of and some of the nitty-gritty details of a training of this size, we're really happy to have those conversations with you. Please contact myself. I'm the A. Gardner at rivcochaw.org or my compatriot, Marshare Penny, who's in the back of the room, and then our Department of Public Health Health Equity webpage, and we're going to have all of our materials up there in the next few weeks as well. So thank you very much.